When someone you love is facing cancer, you want to do more than send a card or flowers that will wilt in a week. You want to actually help. That's where the Balm Box comes in. Our care packages are built from research with over 500 cancer patients and caregivers, packed with items people actually use during treatment. Think soothing, practical, thank goodness I have this kind of relief. For you, it's not just a gift. It's a way to show up in a moment where words fall short. For them, it's comfort, calm, and a reminder they're not alone. From chemo-friendly boxes to mastectomy recovery kits, even options for men, we've made it simple to give something that's elegant, premium, and genuinely useful. And yes, domestic shipping's always free on orders over $50, because making someone feel cared for shouldn't be complicated. So skip the empty get well soon. Send real help, real comfort, and maybe even a laugh. Visit thebalmbox.com. That's thebalmbox.com. Balm, like healing and care. The Balm Box. Because cancer patients don't need bouquets and brownies. They need Balm.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Welcome in. Excuse me. Welcome in to the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. Fridays, it's supposed to start at 9. I think about 5% of the time, it starts at 9. Same thing for the other days of the week. It's supposed to start at 10. About 5% of the time. The problem is, well, the problem is it's me, but more specifically, I should start preparing 1 hour beforehand. But typically what I do is I start preparing 5 minutes beforehand. And my, you know, like getting everything ready. What I'm going to talk about. If you're not a regular listener to the show or viewer of this show, you may not know the actual number of dogs that show up from time to time in the background. Most podcasters don't have spackle on the wall, a door kicked in behind them with no doorknob, and dogs. I'm the only one. That's my claim to fame. E-Rock is here, and he asks, how do more dogs keep showing up for this show? And he says, no, it's a good thing. Oh, I know. It's the way it has to be, always. It's part of the charm. There's always a pile of dogs. And it isn't not all the time to all three pile on the couch. And that's what we have right now as O'Neill's cashed, Bruce wearing his hoodie in the middle, and Darla also zonked. You know, there's also a fourth. That would be Benny, the one-eyed wonder dog, who's a little bit more antisocial. Here we sit. This is what we do. Cole says, that's why Zane works 17 different minimum wage jobs to pay vet bills. And I'm glad to do it, frankly. But welcome to each and every one of you. Your old pal, Eric Zane. The studio is sponsored by Impact Power Sports. Online at impactpowersportsmi.com. You can get a Yamaha golf cart there. They are awesome. You can also pick up a side-by-side, ATV, UTV, motorcycle, e-bike, go-kart, lawnmower, snowmobile, everything. All that fun stuff. Bob says, where is the cat? We never get to see the kitty. Cats. There are two. Milo and Lincoln. Lincoln is morbidly obese, by the way. And Milo is a little bit underweight. It's because Lincoln bullies Milo and eats Milo's food. That sounds like the Beach Boys' Sloop John B. When the guy ate all the dude's corn, he just wants to go home. All right. But I'm not here to give you the roll call of my pets. Well, I did. I want to discuss a little bit this Sherrone Moore. This is a story that's going to keep on giving for quite some time. This is starting to shape up a little bit like Tiger Woods, except for the criminal element to it. I don't think Tiger Woods had a criminal element, which before we get into that, it's always worth a trip in your brain to go back and think to the absurdity that was the Tiger Woods scenario. And I remember it unfolding in real time. I was actually on the radio. It was morning drive. And I remember the story started trickling in, and I said it out loud in the studio, and everybody went, yeah, whatever. It's just a BS story. And then more and more information was trickling in. I'm like, no, I think he was. I mean, it started out as he was in a car accident near his house. And then I think significant or hours passed. And then by that one morning when I was on the air, that's when it started like, well, it was because of an affair that Woods was having, and the wife hit him in the face with a golf club and beat up the car. You know, you hear about that from time to time. When a woman has something bad happen to them, there's a saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Now, that's like, it sounds like the flowery way to say it. An easier way to say it is, if you piss her off too much, you better look out. That's what Elin Nordgren did to Tiger. And that's also what Paige Shriver did to Sherrone Moore. I'll get to that in a second. She was scorned. And, okay, then she said, all right, it's time to, what do they say? Kick the tires, light the fire. She did all that shit. Becca Shea says, my cousin took a golf club to the kitchen when she thought her husband was cheating on her. Yep. I'll bet you we could have everybody in the chat knows someone, or maybe it was them, where that scenario played out, you know? Like, if you're a dude and you've got like a classic muscle car and everything's hunky-dory with you and the missus, but then you kind of go rogue and you get like a side piece and she finds out about it, the first thing she's going to do is take the baseball bat to your hot rod. Busted out headlights, busted windshield, destroy the outside of the vehicle, light it on fire. I mean, and then you just kind of go, oh, well, that's the cost of doing business. That's how it goes. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. E-Rock says, so that Carrie Underwood song. Oh, yeah, Before He Cheats. That's true. Bust the windows out of your car. LOL, funny song. Okay, so Elin did that, and then I remember being in the studio. Or Elin Nordgren? Elin. I forget their fucking name. Then the information started to trickle in. And then, like, as time passed, you were getting more and more, like, porn stars. And then, in particular, the Perkins waitress that Tiger boned. And I remember that we were, like, looking over, like, you'd see a name of a porn star. Oh, well, she's hot. Oh, my God. And then Perkins waitress even went so far as to get glamour shots done because she wanted to be represented, but she was a total bow wow, the Perkins waitress. And it was not good. It looked like she went to, like, the Walmart photo thing and had, like, the glamour shots, and it was just horrible. And I think, I remember, it's all fuzzy in my brain, but I'm pretty sure he, like, ordered the breakfast, and then that's when the relationship started, when she was serving the food. And I think he slammed her in the back of the building by a dumpster. I don't know why that stuck in my brain. I don't know what's... It all blends together. So it might have been just a joke in my brain. Becca Shea used to work at Glamour Shots, LOL. Alan says... Is the Perkins chick the same person as the Taco Bell slut? Yeah, I don't know about that. I thought Woods, he was giving everybody millions of dollars, all these women. But I don't think there was a Taco Bell slut. I think he gave the Perkins waitress a gordita. That's what the line was. Well, anyway, how that all happened. That also happened with Sharon Moore. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. The school thought that Moore and the chick, Paige Shriver, had a relationship and investigated them more than once, trying to get to the bottom of it. And if it did turn out that there was, Moore was going to get fired. So they had been looking into it for some time, and the chick knew it. Well, as it goes, the story right now is that Moore said, all right, they had broken up, and it was whatever, as it was. But to get the school off the beaten path, he decided to fire her from the football office. Okay, now that's the scorn. And by the way, it's well known that she was making $55,000 a year. And then she suddenly got like a 55% raise on what she was making. So now she's making a hundo. So she got pissed off on whatever day of the week it was this week when this all happened. And she went to the football office, or to the athletic department office, and she came clean. And she said, this is what's been going on with Sharon and myself. Here's all the proof. So they went, okay, thanks. And the athletic director, Ward Manuel, fired him right then and there. And there's some concerns about that. There's all sorts of different concerns now. And one of them is that they were aware that Sharon Moore was crazy, had some mental health issues. Now, I knew he had mental health issues. That time when Harbaugh couldn't coach the game, so Moore filled in and they beat Ohio State or some shit like that. I don't know. It doesn't matter. And then he went on TV and was crying like a bitch. Like, that is weird, man. And everybody's like, oh, he's so emotional. He's so passionate. It's like, no, that's a red flag, in my opinion. I thought that then. So right after Moore's fired, he goes to her residence, breaks in, and that's when he grabs the knife. The 911 call is made, and then he takes off on foot and he was apprehended in a church or a church parking lot or hiding or whatever the fuck. He's being arraigned today. He's been in jail since then, which is kind of weird. I want to know why that happened. How was he kept in jail? He's a multimillionaire. They have to be worried about his mental well-being. Like, so they threw him into a straitjacket and put him in a padded room. So now he'll get arraigned and, you know, ultimately this is probably going to result in not that much. We all know that in America today, you can pretty much do horrible things to any chick and you'll be fine. You know how it is. Money can get you anything. So Crackpot Moore will be arraigned and then the pieces will be picked up. Everybody goes on about their lives. Moore never to be heard from again. Nick says 72-hour suicide hold. That's what I was thinking. There's a couple things going on. I like how the our local news channel did kind of like an update. In particular, I'm interested in what former Michigan football player John Jansen had to say about this. He's quoted in here.
Michigan head football coach Sherrone Moore is still in jail this morning, waiting for his arraignment, which we think will happen today. The court has not published the exact time for the hearing in Washtenaw County. Police arrested him Wednesday night, saying there was an assault. That was the same day the University of Michigan announced that they'd fired him from his job as head football coach. The athletic director said Moore had an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. Now, the recording of the 911 call has a woman saying a man was attacking her, that he had a knife and threatened to kill her and himself. Prosecutors have not announced any charges against Moore. Students on campus told us they were disappointed by the news, especially those affiliated with the football program. We heard from former NFL and Michigan lineman John Jansen, who's now a Michigan football commentator. He said Moore's actions don't represent the university.
There is a certain standard that we expect.
Boy. Never before has it been more clear that NFL linemen are cavemen. Look at this dude.
There's a certain standard that we expect, not just on the field, but off the field, the way we live our lives, the block M, it has to mean something. Wearing the winged helmet has to mean something.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there. All of what you just heard is some of the biggest bunch of bullshit ever. I don't care if you're Michigan or Grand Valley State or Tennessee or Alabama. All of these programs are filthy, and anyone who suggests that there's any bit of integrity or a standard or all that bullshit is a fucking fool. Okay? Michigan is as slimy as the rest of them. There is no difference in any one of these money-making machines. So take your integrity and stick it up your fucking dickhole, asshole.
It has to mean something, and it's about getting back to those values, those core values.
Values. Fuck you.
Of what we talk about, we've got to live.
It's such a bunch of bullshit.
Has not hired a new head.
We're better than that. We're Michigan.
Coach yet. Biff Poggi will be the team's interim during the Citrus Bowl later this month.
It's all a ridiculous scenario. Cole says it does mean something. It means you're a lying cheater. Brett Bullbrain Chris says, what a bunch of shit. The winged helmet. Alan says, John Jansen looks like a fat Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday. E-Rock says, no shit. When does anyone say their actions do represent the views and values of our organization. Yeah, you know what happened is, however long ago it was, someone came up with that line, you know, and that became like boilerplate. All right, how do you want to start this statement? We'll start it off with that one line about what that person did does not represent our values. The fuck they don't. What are your values, assholes? Is your number one goal creating self-respecting individuals who are looking to contribute to society? No, you don't give a shit. You just want to make money. Red Bull Brain Chris says, why does the helmet have wings anyway? Can Wolverines fly? I actually know the answer to that. As the legend goes, I actually grew up a Michigan fan before. I'm not a fan of anything now. I don't give a shit. I'm a fan of stories. Back in the day, you couldn't distinguish Michigan's helmets from the other team, so they painted that on there so that they could determine who, you know what I mean? Everybody had the same color helmet, and it took forever until finally one guy goes, hey, I got an idea. Core values, my fucking plum bag, says Chris. Yeah, it's all bullshit. I was listening to, I've found myself listening to that 98.7 station in town here, which has Detroit sports on it. And they had a Michigan fan call in because the question that Mike Valenti asked was, okay, so it's been a messy period of time for Michigan football. With the Connor Stallions cheating thing, all that scandal, suspensions, players, coaches not playing, fines, now this, is it worth it? And everybody who called said, well, yeah, it's worth it. We don't care. We just wanted to win and win at any cost. And I was appreciative of the honesty of these average Joes who just called in and said, well, yeah, it's worth it. I mean, we're the we won. We won all the games. And that's where we are. And so, okay. Makes no difference to me. You're getting no judging from me. Okay? Like, for example, if I found a way to game the system, like let's say I figured out something from a tech standpoint that made my podcast number one in the world, and it was completely dubious and cheating. Would I do that? Yes, of course I would. I don't give a shit about integrity. No, I just want... of course it's worth it. You'll win at any cost. That's part of it. It's just now it's become no big deal to cheat. Now they actually encourage it with... finally, they started paying players, which thank God they started doing that. I love that. You've seen a lot of coaches like Nick Saban. He's a twat. He got out of Alabama when they made it so that you can pay the players and they can come and go whenever they want. And he's like, you ruined college football. It's like, well, yeah, you asshole. You were cheating your ass off under the table prior to this. Now they've leveled the playing field. Any dickhead college, if they've got the right amount of money, can hire the best players. That's the way it should be. These poor slobs are out there grinding, and they get free books and like a meal card while these assholes are earning millions of dollars. I love how they not only the players can make real money, but they can also just quit. Like, I want it to be where you can play the first half of one game and then go to like another school to play the second half at another school later in the day. That's what I want. I love that element. And then my favorite thing is to point out when these crybaby bitches are like, you ruined the integrity of the game. This is not the same anymore. Oh my God. These players don't give a shit. Why are you even making these dicks go to school? They're not I don't want to do that. If I ran college athletics, I would say you don't have to attend classes. Just pay them. It's the minor leagues of pro sports. Pay these poor people. Half of these kids come from poverty environments, and not all of them earn money. If they're going to risk their lives every minute of those fucking games, they should be making a outstanding salary for that, so that all of us dickheads can sit at home and watch that shit on TV with millions of dollars in advertising flowing in. Shut the fuck up. Iraq says, using their names and likenesses in video games. Exactly. Look up the name Ed O'Bannon. Ed O'Bannon was a UCLA basketball star in the 1990s. He was the pioneer. It took him forever to finally make it so that he had to be compensated for his name, image, likeness being used on a video game. That's what opened the door for all of this. Skip says, I don't like that they can just go to whatever team whenever they want with the transfer portal, but the university makes tons of money on the students, so they should make money. Bread Bull Brain Chris says, play the first half for one team, transfer portal to the opposing team during halftime, and play against your former team in the second half. Oh my God, yes. Tyler says, they bitch about players getting paid while they make millions and cheat on their wives. Okay, in my opinion, you need the worst behavior if you want to have the best team. You can expect the worst behavior. If your team is a champion, you're cheating the most, you're doing terrible things, probably committing felonies, and we are all here for it. I am thankful that Sharon Moore cheated on his wife. I am excited that he kicked that chick's door in and flashed a knife and then ran away and hid in a church. I'm excited that he got arrested. I can't wait to get more info on the arraignment. And anyone who doesn't agree with me and feel the same way is a liar. All right? We love this shit. Who didn't get excited on Wednesday when the shit hit the fan? I was like, oh, yes. Yes. It's a big one. This is a big fish. Oh, my God. I'll just be the first one to say this. Faithfulness is boring. Following the rules sucks. We need more rule breakers, more cheaters, and more assault. That's what we need. Stevie says, I hope she divorces him and gets half of all that cash. She might. I don't know. Who knows? I feel, that's a bummer for Mrs. Moore and the three kids involved, but hey, collateral damage. I'm entertained. I'm not the one who cheated on Mrs. Moore, okay? I didn't do any of that shit. I'm minding, and you are minding, our own business. Going about our day-to-day lives. And then that dumb motherfucker, he pulls all this shit. And now he's fucked. And we are here for it. Every single one of you. And we're happy together. I mean, I love sports. I mean, it's fantastic when an upset happens. Frankly, it would have been outstanding if Michigan, it would have been more interesting if Michigan beat Ohio State. It would have been a better story. Ohio State beat Michigan. They're supposed to. Who gives a shit? The fact that you would have a coach and Ryan Day won a national championship last year. Could very well win another one this year. Can't beat Michigan. The fans want him fucking fired. It would have been a better story if Michigan had beaten Ohio State. However, this is much more interesting than any of that fucking sports bullshit. Becca Shea says, how does Joe feel about all of this? I don't know. He's made various horrible comments. Like the other day I got one, I swear to God, and I'll do it in Joe Martinez's voice, one of the biggest stupid Michigan fans you'll ever find. She must have been a primo piece of pussy. I bet she takes it in the ass. Swear to God. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? You sick fuck. Alan says, call him. I'm not up for that. I can't. No. He's not here, and that's probably a good thing. All right. Eric, bad news. Zane is on a roll, says Chris. Chris knows things. That goes way back. My old radio nickname. If they had beat Ohio State, this story doesn't reach the light of day. Interesting. So the idea there would be, hey, he beat Ohio State. That's a good thing. So we don't want to fuck this up. I disagree, though, because if girl scorned, if everything else is the same, she's going to go to the press. Whatever. So now we stand and wait for this dumbass to get arraigned. And I'm loving that. The great food giveaway. Had a great day yesterday. I want to say thank you to several folks who helped us out, including James R., Amanda M., Megan, Bread Bowl Brain Chris, John K. on the overnight, and that would be Meredith S., who just dropped some money in our virtual hat. And this is where we stand right now with 10 days counting today until we pay for the food. Next Saturday, I'm going to pay for the food. To pay for the food, I need $5,577.75 at the Cook County Assessor's Office. That's a reference to something. Does anybody know what that reference is? Right now, we have collected $4,677.07 for the great food giveaway. We have $900.68 remaining to collect of the $5,577.75. There have been, since this all began, 72 donations to collect that cash. Little easy math for you. Let's go with the dollar amount collected and divide it by the number of people on our grassroots hat passing. That means each person is averaging $64.95. Now, some have much less, some much more, and it doesn't matter. Who contributes, that dollar amount is not told as to who gave what. That's why I've said, whether you're listening to the audio podcast, whether you're on the live stream, video feed, in the chat, thank you so much, whatever you can give. I don't care if it's a dollar. Don't feel bad about that, by the way. Okay? And that's just between you and I. Nobody needs to know that. I just love the fact that you're there. That's what makes me the happiest. That the audience gets together and just wants to help. We need to average between now and next Saturday $90.06 a day as of right now. So if we can get through today and get one penny more than $90.06, that means we're right on track. Some of you will listen to this later than the day that it's recording on December 12th. But just know that no matter when you're listening to it, every dollar helps. So thank you so much. Now, if you're listening to it like a year later, no, don't send it. No. E-Rock says you should have the link running on the screen. That's a good point. I should do that. Leave it to me to not even think about that until this deal is almost over. But there it is. I just posted all the spots for you online in the chat. Please help with a donation for Great Food Giveaway number 6. Venmo. Ugh, some dog farting here. At Eric-Zaitunian Cash App. $Eric-Zaitunian PayPal. Search Eric Zane Show LLC. As well, we have the Amazon wish list for feminine hygiene products. All of these things, when we get all the food, 225 Christmas dinners boxed up, ready to go, along with hundreds of boxes of feminine hygiene products, hundreds of bags of dog and cat food, apples from Gunner's Nyblad Orchards, 225 vehicles in line in front of Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. Coming up on Tuesday, December 23rd, audience members, myself, will all be there. My daughter Jackie's going to be there. My son-in-law, Justin, is going to be there. I won't be doing anything. I'm just the eye candy. Okay? We've got so many people there that they all want to help. You got people there, they're like, easy, I can't give you even a penny. I'm like, eh, whatever, just show up. I don't care. We're going to get the dollar amount. I know we are. Could you be the one, though, that puts it over the top? Now, any extra cash that I have, I'm going to be buying tampons with that. So there's the Amazon wish list. When you go to that link and you make a purchase, this is mailed directly to Irvine's. So add it to the cart, pay for it. You can pay as low as $2.49 for a package of panty liners. They also have thick maxi pads for some chicks. You know, sometimes it's a little clumpy. That's why you need the thick ones. And then these ones are long length for large vaginas. That's $5.05. Then you got the tampons. Those are the ones that go in, you know, which sounds terrible to me. And then period cups. This is a new thing. It's a delicious and nutritious way and to safely get rid of your juicy period blood. Okay? 7 of these have been purchased, and we need 50. For some reason, probably because they're a little bit more expensive, and they are more expensive because they're reusable. Ladies will just remove them. See how, like, there's a, you know how there's a little ball at the end of it there? That's sticking out of the lady's vagina. And then she just grabs that, and then when that comes out, it makes a sound like pulling your boot out that's stuck in mud. And then you rinse it out. Thank you to E-Rock. E-Rock just sent cash along. I appreciate you so much. I will add that to the total. So that means we're well on our way. Bob says, insert boot in mud sound. Everybody knows that's a great way to describe it. Boot in mud sound. When you remove, I mean, that's a, you can hear it in your brain. Stevie says, EZ has learned so much about periods, and I love that for him. Oh, 100%. I want to be in the know about periods. Skip's here. He says, I'm definitely not eye candy, but I will be there, and I won't be doing shit. Donko says, period cups look like ice cube molds. All right, before we go on even one more second, I need to remind you. This evening is a rare Friday, Big Fraud Friday. Who are these free beers at 6 p.m.? Ben Glaze and I will review the latest information on the or the latest critique of the Free Beer and Hot Wings show. By the way, I'm starting to hear I'm being hinted to, and I can only say so much about this, that there may come a time in the relatively near future where I am in a legal proceeding speaking on, I shouldn't say it. Let me just say, I may be in a courtroom before too long about something that will interest all of you. All right. And I bring it up because it was hinted to me the other day. And you remember how I told you earlier, we all love the drama. You're going to love this drama. It's going, now my fingers are crossed. My fingers are crossed that I am going to be in a courtroom. Like, did you ever see that movie called A Few Good Men? That scene when Tom Cruise is the lawyer. He's the JAG. And, What's the old man's name? Jack Nicholson is on. I mean, it's a fantastic scene. And so when I heard that, I was like, what? Really? Ooh. So fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Oh, my God. That would be. Can you imagine the publicity if I am in a courtroom speaking about something that you all will be interested in? Holy shit. Let me just say this. That happens. The first thing I do is I am going to call 3 TV stations in town and say, you need personnel outside of the courtroom, inside of the courtroom. You need full gavel to gavel, balls to the walls coverage. That's what you need. And you're foolish if you don't. This would also, if it goes the way I like it to go, would have, unless I'm told not to speak about it, I will be talking about it on this show. I mean, what a fantastic way to drum up publicity for this little old podcast. Can you imagine that? Anyone who does what I do, if they are faced with this type of possibility, they're giddy. It's dollar signs. Oh my God. E-Rock says, wear a shirt with the show logo on it on the stand. Well, I'd be worried about that because I want to be credible. I would want to be professional. Maybe like a little button, you know how, or like a pin in the on like I'd get a new suit. All right. And I would wear a fur coat over the suit. Like, from neck to ankles, a bit like Kid Rock style fur coat with rhinestone glasses and a fucking pimp cane. Okay. And then I should start now really going hard and fast on like the weight loss and start pumping iron and taking steroids. Okay. Because I want to be jacked. I want to look like $1 million and fantastic. And then, you know, walk in there. E-Rock says, okay, then only have the button-up shirt open as you walk in and out of the court so the cameras don't see it. Skip says, you should have a small body cam for us to watch. Bread Bull Brain Chris says, a shiny silk suit. Get a tie with your logo on it. Corn Pop says, got to dust off the old P90X. Actually, so the cameras can see it easy, says E-Rock. Yeah, of course. Big collars, look like you came from the set of Goodfellas. Okay. Now, I haven't said what this is about. I haven't revealed anything. I know for a fact, though, that people watch this show. You know, of the massive 35 people that are watching this right now, I would say 30 of them are people who are pissed off at me and are wanting me to say more than I should say. But I did have a conversation yesterday and I was told about the possibility about this. And it was delivered to me like, hey, this might be bad. And I'm like, the fuck it will. The fuck it will. We shall see. And, you know, honestly, the truth shall set you free. Always. I've always been upfront with people. I have been nothing but a trollish dickhead by design. That is, I wake up every day and who can I fuck with today? That's my goal. Who can I fuck with today? But I will always set the record straight. I will always be honest. All right. So there you go. How did we stumble onto that? Me revealing. Well, I didn't really reveal anything. I just said there's a good possibility I'll be in a courtroom. Fingers crossed that I will. Oh, yeah. I was talking about who are these free beers going on tonight. Ben Glaze and myself, 6 p.m. start time. E-Rock says, you got to sing Who Can I Fuck With like the WATP jingle. You know what's crazy about that, E-Rock? I don't listen. I don't have time to listen to any of the podcasts that are part of the WATP universe. I struggle. In fact, when I do that show with Christian, he has to get me up to speed. I'm like, what's going on? Who's suing who? Who's in trouble? What's who? Huh? Stuttering. This is the only thing I know. And I don't even know where this is. It might even be resolved by now. Stuttering John is suing Carl and Shuli Egar. Is that how you say it? For a stupid amount of money over something. That's and then the idiot, what's his name? The guy from Minnesota that sucks. Carl's being sued for $850,000. Steel toe. Aaron Imholt. Who, side note, I've talked about this before, but I'm going to talk about it again. The story goes like this. Years before podcasting, I'm still working on the radio, and we're syndicated on a lot of small markets, and one of the small markets is St. Cloud, Minnesota. Whatever. I mean, the way it works is we give the show for free. We earn no money for putting these. It was a horrible deal. Prior to the syndication contract that we had, we used to take cash. Like the New Jersey radio station, they paid us like $90,000 that the three of us divided up for the syndication. And depending on the size of the market, that dollar amount would fluctuate. When we signed on with a syndicator, Peter Kosan at Compass Media, he said, you got to get rid of those talent fees, the station fees. And we're like, why? He says, nobody's going to pay those. And we're like, well, we got 25 radio stations. They're paying for it. And he goes, no, that's not the way we do it. If we're going to syndicate you, you have to dump your station fee, which is such bullshit. We did it where if we got, we were self-syndicated. Let's say a station gave us $50,000. We would have to give some of that to our home market station, and then we'd take the rest. It was a deal we cut. Peter gets in there, and he's like, oh, yeah, no more station fees. That's the only way you're going to get syndicated. So then he starts offering it for free, basically avails. We get to play a couple of commercials here and there and make money off that. Whatever. And at this point, we were getting, for the amount of stations we had, we're not making near enough the money that we should have been. So we signed on a station like St. Cloud. It's free for them. Turnkey, they put us on. And Peter sells a fucking 1-800-Flowers commercial. And then that's the deal. I remember there was one station that, before it was completely eliminated, I think after we divided up all the money, it was like $3 a month we were making off of them. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.